I'm in the midst of my family's annual Camp Grandpa, in which all the children and grandchildren descend on us here in St. Louis, and we do activities together until we can't stand each other anymore. And the two granddaughters today were not very happy at all that I had to come and do this. And so they said, "We will write your speech for you." And I said, "Okay." So they wrote my speech. Hello, fellow job wonders. Today I will be lecturing you on how to get a job, so put those cell phones and pagers down, and most important of all, hush up, unless you want to waste the $100 million you paid to listen to me. That's how much you paid, right? And then they said, "Now, to begin, this is how you keep your job. Don't get fired or laid off. Quit." Yada, yada, yada. Okay. Dick is passing out a handout because I think that you will probably use it to base your questions on. The most important thing for me is not what I say, but maybe the questions that you have. People who are in journalism are like everybody else, and everything is about change now. I was recently talking with a friend about her career, and what I listed was hers, that she has been in newspapers, corporate America. She was a downsized freelancer, and if any of you are thinking about that, I'm glad to talk with you about that. And newspaper, and now she's with a left-wing cause. The thing that matters the most in when I work with people, and I work with I tend to work with executives. I tend to work with kind of higher level executives. And what matters the most is what they want more than where the jobs are. So when somebody's kind of facing a layoff or a downsizing situation, they have a tendency to panic and to say, "Oh, my God, where are the cool jobs now?" And what I've learned over time is that it doesn't matter where the cool jobs are, because by the time you're prepared to get them, they're not cool anymore. So Dick asked me to talk about several things, and one is, what is the job situation if you are in your early to mid-20s versus if you are 30 years in the job market? And there are woes on each end of the generational spectrum. If you are 25 or 26 years old, you have a lot more flexibility to travel, like to go to Orlando, for example. And you are the embodiment of flexibility, and you change as your middle name. So you are very willing to change. On the other hand, if you're in your 50s, then you typically are starting to get hardening of the categories and are not as flexible about what you're willing to do. That's kind of a dangerous thing, kind of a dangerous attitude for you to have. If you're in the early part of your career, you're willing to work cheaply, and you're willing to work a lot. And so you wind up working 60, 70, 80 hours a week. People my age don't want to do that anymore. And you're also cheaper, so people are more willing to hire you. And I gave a speech the other day at Business Persons Between Jobs, and they said, "Well, what about when you're in your 50s, and isn't there age discrimination out there?" And I went, "Duh. You know, of course there is, but the biggest problem is that people in their 50s are going to be more expensive than people in their 20s. And so a lot of times companies will be making an economic decision to hire somebody more cheaply. However, one of the things that's coming up that's good news for people who are more mature in their careers is that all the projections are that there will not be enough people to fill the jobs. And there's a saying, I think I've got the saying right, that age and treachery has it all over youth and beauty. And I think that that's true, that companies are looking for the more mature worker because they see them as being more dependable, that they have the connections that they need to do their job well. And so they're really a more welcome commodity on the job market. The biggest problem, and I talk with recruiters about this all the time, and they tell me that the biggest problem they have with people in their 50s is their attitude, that they, and the fact that they are not willing to learn anymore. They're kind of done with learning. And I think that in this particular environment, you have to continue to be a lifelong learner. I've worked with, I have to tell you, it's mostly guys who want to update their image, and I think that that's a very important thing to do. I also help companies find people, and I was interviewing somebody who kind of walked in with a slide rule in his pocket, and I thought, you know, he can't get their attention because he's just said, you know, whatever I am is okay, take it or leave it. So they left it. When somebody gets downsized or laid off from their jobs, they become highly frightened. And the time immediately after the work period is a really scary time, largely because you're no longer a worker bee who has a place to go and a desk to go to. What you are is an entrepreneur. And you have to create the work that you're going to get. So I thought it might be helpful to describe to you what would be some of the helpful things to do if you are in a situation where you're looking for the next job. I talked with a friend who has been downsized a couple of times. She's a journalist, and she said, calm down. Just calm down. That's the first thing that you need to do, that your world is not going to end. The next thing you have to do is you have to decide if your spouse or partner is going to be a good support for you. It is not necessarily true. You could have somebody who says, honey, I am on your side. Why aren't you taking that job as a hotel clerk? Because they're anxious about security. They're anxious about where the money's going to come from. So you have to decide if that person's the right one for you. The next is if you can take 4 to 6 weeks off, to kind of think about what you want and what's next for you, do that. Part of the problem with that is as a culture, and it's getting worse, not better, we all kind of live from hand to mouth. So a lot of times that doesn't feel economically feasible, although the old adage continues to be true that it takes about a month for every $10,000 you make to find your next job. So if you were making $60,000 a year, it's going to take you about 6 months to find your next job. Now is a good time to begin looking. September is the second largest hiring month of the year, January being the first. And you'll be able to look for a job productively until about the middle of November, and then it all falls apart until after Christmas. You also have to determine how much freedom or flexibility you have for an extended search. Again, people might not have the money. The spouse might not have a job that enables that kind of freedom. It would be great if people did more of what Dick did, which was to spend a few years thinking about it, because that really gives you, you don't go out into the workplace as a victim. You go out with a plan and clients and potential and excitement instead of being worried. And worry is the worst thing for you. One of the things that throws people off kilter in a job search is that they believe that they have to decide what's going to be the rest of my life. And it frightens them whether they're 19 years old or 59 years old. And in truth, the only thing you should try to say to yourself is, what do I want to do for the next 5 years? What's the next 5 years going to be? So, for example, when my son, who's now 23, was 15, I knew that part of my career plan for the next 5 years had to include, what am I going to do when I no longer have the responsibility for my son, when, you know, I don't have that person that I have to drive carpool for, yell at, all that kind of stuff. So whatever you have going on in your life that's big is always going to have an impact on your career decisions. So you really should make parentheses out of the next 5 years. Most of us can deal with what we want to do for the next 5 years. And I promise you that almost everybody that comes into my office says, I'm here so you can help me figure out what I want to do when I grow up. And I think the reality is we don't grow up. The fastest way for you to get through any kind of job search is to have some kind of support discipline. So at the bottom of the page I have that you could go to Business Persons Between Jobs. Has anybody ever done that? It can be good and it can be bad, so you have to be kind of careful about it. Because a lot of people decide to kind of park it at BBJ. And you need to get a group of people who are saying, let's go, let's do, let's think, let's talk, let's, what are some ideas? And so my experience with journalists is that they're all big talkers. So it would be great if you and several other people said, you know what, we're going to be like a mastermind group for each other. We're going to get together every Monday morning and talk about what our goals are for the week. We're going to hold ourselves accountable for what we want to get done. The research has shown time and time again that somebody who actually goes through with a support group gets done in about half the time. So, and finding a job is a numbers game. The more people you talk to, the more activities that you have related to finding a job, the faster you're going to do that. Another thing that's really helpful is to talk to someone who's been in your shoes. So if you know people who have been downsized from their job in journalism, how did they manage it? What did they do? Who did they talk to? We all have a tendency to think, I'm the only one who's gone through this tragedy. I know I thought I was the only woman who had ever gone through pregnancy. Really? I didn't know there was pain. So talk to someone who has been in your shoes. There are always opportunities when downsizing and layoffs occur. And an important question for you to ask yourself is, how do I add value? What is there about me? And I know, Dick, you did that. What is there about me that I love doing that creates value in the marketplace? And it might be something completely different. You might have to look at what you were doing and saying, I can't do that anymore. It's not going to work anymore. You did that. Didn't you? Yeah, of course you did. So how do I want to add value? What does the marketplace value? I had a client who came to me, was the head of a department for St. Louis County, and he had just gotten age-discriminatedly downsized. And he said, I'm 65 years old. What am I going to do? Who's going to hire me? I said, well, who's been trying to get work through you with the county? And he said, I know exactly who. And he actually came down to a company that's about five blocks from here. And the next day he was their vice president of operations because he knew how to get to do business with the county. And that's exactly what he did. He steered that whole company so that it got work with the county. But it was because he knew how to add value. You also have to think about what you're up for. That's actually a question that I'm considering at the moment. And we're up for different things in our lifetimes. When we are young and foolish, we are up for everything. And I think you should be up for everything when you're 22 or 23 years old. You should never stay at an employer more than a year or two. And you should have four or five in this economy by the time you're 28 or 29 years old and you kind of settle into work. And I think that that trend is going to continue. When you are in your 40s and you're caring for elderly parents, you're up for different things. When you're in your 50s, for those of you who are in your 50s, your value around work changes dramatically. It has to be fun for you or you're not going to be willing to do it. And if it can't be fun for you, then you will sit at your desk and become bitter. And somebody will see you're bitter and show you out the door. They are very willing to do that anymore. So it's important for you to know what you're up for. If you're 60, what are you up for? Are you up for 5 days a week? Are you up for a lot of travel? Are you up for work in areas where your grandchildren live? So you will find different ways of creating your life and your career at different times of your life. So be willing to know what you're up for. And also, as I told you, that other guy said, found out who needed me. And there will be a lot of people because communications is going to continue to be an important world because we never seem to get it right. So the opportunities are there. They're just way more fragmented than they were. I gave a speech a couple of years ago to a group of marketing high school marketing teachers, and I was telling them about the changing world, and this was before it all even got worse. And he said, "Do you mean that I've been giving the wrong advice to my students when I'm telling them they should look for a job they're going to have for the next 30 years? Try 30 minutes, you know? It's just not possible." I thought I'd kind of wrap it up by giving you some what I consider killer strategies for taking you to the next place. And one is adapt or die. You just have to have kind of loose knees and say, I'm going to be a lifelong learner. If I do, Shannon and I were talking about somebody who doesn't have email, and it became like a mission at this meeting we were at to get this guy email. I have a client who's a retired president of a company, and he was making $300,000 a year, and he thinks that he'd like to have another job. He thought he'd retired too early. And I said, great, what's your email address? He said, I don't have one. So he was the president of a company making $300,000 a year, and somebody else sent his email for him. I said, guess what, pumpkin? You're not getting a job at Walmart, you know? You're just not getting a job anywhere. So you really do have to adapt to what's out there. One of my least favorite words on the planet is networking. People think of it as begging, and people also use it very selfishly. And in the sense that, hi, I just lost my job. How can you help me? You know, I just met you 20 seconds ago. I don't think I care. You know, you just don't care. And so what is way more important in life in general is to develop relationships with other people. So, for example, I cannot network, but I can develop relationships. I can go to lunch with Dan. I can go to lunch with Marie. And I can learn a lot about what's going on. But it's definitely, those are definitely warm calls. So I encourage you to make as many warm calls like that as you can, because people in your arena will have a lot of information for you. That's actually an advantage that I think journalists have, because think of the people you've met. You know people from everywhere. And if you worked at Monsanto, for example, where I was in prison for a while, you did nothing except your little job, and then you went home. So you had no relationship except the people you work with. So your Rolodex is way bigger than anybody else's. So that's an advantage. I can't stress enough the importance of getting an accountability buddy, where you and you would say to each other, we're getting together once a week, and I want you to hold my feet to the fire about what I said I'm going to get done, because there's no one to make you do this. And when there's no one to make you do it, there's no deadline, there's no boss, you just have a tendency not to do it. And even your spouse yelling at you doesn't do it. I like the idea of getting business cards printed up, and Dick, yours are wonderful, but you don't have to have anything except journalist, writer, whatever that you want on it. They're free at vistacards.com. You can get them free. And hand them out so that people will remember you, will remember that they met you. Do not, however, give them their resume and say, if you think of anything, if you hear of anything, call me. I promise you, and I'm the biggest one of all, that the second you walk away from me, I have forgotten you. Okay? So it's nice, but it's kind of like putting a little money in the thing for the candles and hoping that the Blessed Mother will, you know. It doesn't work that way. It really doesn't. Monday coffees are great that you have with each other. This is one of my marketing techniques. Please don't tell. But when I want to get to know a new market, I will make it true, because I'll find some magazine who wants to buy a story about CEOs working in banking. So I'll call a CEO of a bank. Hi, I'm working on an article for the Channel 9 magazine, whatever. Can we get together? And they all go, sure, big ego. So find, online is like always begging for content. So go online, find somebody who wants a story about something, and then call somebody. They'll see you. They will talk to you. And you'll sit there with your little pad going, oh. Resumes and job boards. Resumes, now this will be the one where somebody will call me in 3 months and go, I got a job with my resume. I very seldom find people finding jobs through their resumes. They, if they've been in newspapers, they only speak newspapers. If they want to go to work for a corporation, they don't know how to speak corporation. So you have to make sure that your resume looks and sounds and smells and tastes like wherever it is that you want to go. And job boards. I hate job boards. That's a union-authorized way to not look. Okay? It's like you say, I just put my resume on 50,000 job boards, and I go, great, you did nothing. You know, you might as well have played Spider Solitaire, which I do a lot. Is anybody else addicted? Am I alone? I'm alone. Okay. You play it? Okay. So job boards are useless. It's very seldom that people hear anything back from there. You're much better off if you belong to PRSA, if you belong to a professional organization. They often have job search potentials that you could sign up for. So I'll wrap this up. I'm sure I'm over time.
No,
but
are you
pushing me off?
No.
Sit down. I'll let you know. I might have to get back to my granddaughters. Anyway, I just wanted to tell you a couple of things. I'm not crazy about these, and especially when I think about sending journalists here, kind of, you know, because how cynical you all are. And you are. Joel Reinert is with the federal government, and he's part of the JobWorks program at the community college, which is actually great. I mean, it's a service that if you've been downsized or laid off, you can avail yourself of. And Joel is so sweet, and he's so wonderful, and he does programs, and he'll put you on his email list. And I'm just not crazy about them because I think, how are you going to find a job with a lot of other people who don't have a job? You know, but it's useful to get his networking stuff on your email. And then Business Persons Between Jobs, they meet on Monday mornings. It's a $25 charge to join, and then you can go once a week. It's about 2 hours for every Monday. So having said that, I'd like to say thanks a lot for inviting me. And